Good afternoon. Welcome back. You're with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, lots of questions, obviously, about what's happening, Russia, Ukraine, not just the humanitarian side, but what will it mean economically? What does it mean for Canada? What does it mean for the, you know, the global economy as a whole?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, like you said, and the big question that's going around on different social media platforms, private chats and so forth is this WW3?
Right.
Is this actually going to happen? Are we going to get to that point that we've had fear for so many decades?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if we're going to actually lead to that situation.
Let's explore it a little bit and hope the answer is not that it is, the likely outcome of WW3. We've got a terrific guest today, David Perry, President, Canadian Global Affairs Institute. First of all, Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Here's the mission of the Institute. I'm going to read it. I know you know it, but just for our viewers and our listeners. The mission is to identify Canadian global interests and promote more active and effective international involvement through rigorous strategic and policy analysis. All right, we're going to need a lot of help on this area of policy analysis and the strategy, given what's going on in Russia, Ukraine. Faisal, before we got on this segment, we were talking a little bit about how did we get here?
Yeah.
And maybe we can start the conversation, David, in some context around how did we end up where we're at right now?
So I think if you take the last decade, Putin and Russia went on a few different adventures where he used his military to invade other countries and seize territory. He did it in Georgia in 2008. He did it in a very significant and concretely relevant way to what we're seeing play out right now in Crimea in 2014. And in both those circumstances, the West imposed some sanctions, but in any real meaningful sense, the Putin regime didn't really bear any meaningful costs. And I think that sort of set a template where, in addition to, I think, a couple things playing out in the last year of the Biden presidency and before that the Trump administration, where he thought the West was totally uncoordinated, disunited, chaotic, and didn't have much resolve. And I thought that I think that left him with the impression that he could go into Ukraine, and there's some longer standing kind of historical perspective from Russia and how Ukraine fits into their concept of their own security. But the bottom line is the last decade and a bit, and in the last few years in particular, I think left Putin thinking that he could get away with this without really suffering any significant costs.
So he has gotten away with it before.
Yep.
Crimea being the most recent example before where we are today. So David, when we look at this whole situation, it just seems like no one's really doing anything, at least from a military perspective. So the question that's going around in chat groups right now is this going to lead to a military attack? Is NATO or any other allied forces going to get together? And do you believe that we are now going to head towards a war?
I think there's an awful lot of effort being taken to do everything we can, but staying below that threshold. So to your point, the opener about whether or not, you know, this is the potential for World War III, I would say that there's a lot greater risk today that we could be in that scenario than there has been in decades. And that's because I think it's a little bit difficult for us in Canada to get our heads around this, that this is the Russian government, a nuclear-armed state, the second largest nuclear arsenal in the world, multiple other weapons of mass destruction, that's invaded another country whose interests Canada is aligned with. But this is very different than the last sort of several decades of Canadian experience, where we've been involved in other states where there's sort of peripheral interests and fourth and fifth rate fighting forces and militaries. This is Russia. It's very different. And we have to calibrate everything we're doing against the potential of escalating this conflict against a very capable nuclear armed power, even if they have been experiencing some difficulties in the Ukraine in the last week and a half that maybe they didn't expect.
If you were a betting person, what percentage probability do you think that we're heading to an actual military war?
I still would keep it fairly low. A couple of reasons for that. One, the U.S. government, the Biden administration, was pretty categorical at the beginning of this, you know, really ramping up about a month or so ago to rule out sending American forces. He's taken a lot of criticism from that. And as you said, there's lots of speculation about, we should do various different measures, including no-fly zones, which would require us to go to war with Russia, to be clear. If the Americans have said that that's off the table, then that really circumscribes most of the options for virtually anybody else. And then the second thing that gives me some confidence that that's not going to happen is that we've been very well coordinated as a Western alliance. This is all the different actions and just kind of the breathtaking changes in foreign policy, arms shipments from a whole host of countries has all been done in pretty close collaboration. So I think that we've managed to stay in lockstep. I do think, though, that there's a non-zero chance that this escalates, just given how many weapons were flooding into the region and the possibility that the Putin and his cronies look at this and don't understand what we're doing the same way that we do.
When it comes to this conflict and where Canada stands, friends of mine who are from outside of Canada kind of joke about the presence of Canada when it comes to conflict like this. It's like we're the little cousin at the family fight, reaching out once in a while behind our big brother saying, yeah, you can't do that, or yeah, we're gonna come after you as long as big brother USA is beside us. We don't really take a big stance, at least from a military perspective or from a leadership perspective. We kind of wait for the other countries to step first and then we join. What can Canada do in this situation? Do we just sit back and let the bigger military groups and countries get involved and then we'll support? Or do we actually take a leadership stance and actually start something that maybe we should be a leader in?
So we could play a couple different ways. And I think that the government, to give the Trudeau government credit, has actually been taking up some of the leadership roles with regard to the financial sanctions. You know, there's kind of two broad swaths of what is happening here. So you're seeing a military response, which has worked kind of along two axes. One is reinforcing NATO countries. There's a parts of NATO that literally border this conflict zone or border Belarus, where a lot of the Russian forces have massed. So those countries have some pretty significant and real and understandable concerns about, you know, what happens if instead of facing south, those Russian forces head west and towards their border. So we're doing some things to reinforce that, sending not huge numbers of troops, but sending troops and providing some aerial resupply, which is always kind of an asset that's you can never have enough of. And the other thing we're doing is we're doing some resupply, providing some equipment to the Ukrainians. That's not nearly as significant as what some of our allies are doing. You know, they've got bigger, better missiles, as an example, but we're kind of doing our part. But the financial piece, there's been a lot of good reporting that our Deputy Prime Minister in particular has really kind of led that effort. And I think that the collective view is that that's one of the big ways that hopefully we get the Russians to change their calculus. It's becoming incredibly difficult for the Russian economy to function. I mean, we'll see when their stock market can reopen. And what the devastation to that looks like. So I think in a lot of cases, you know, militarily, we can't go fight on our own to very significant extents without American support. We can do a lot of other things, though, if we want to actually step up and lead.
David, just very quickly, sort of as a setup to the next segment, I'd like to get your, we've seen some escalation, some significant escalation over the past several days. I'd like to just get you to bring us up to speed of where we are in this conflict right now, and then we're going to take a break after that. We'll come back and then talk about what some of the potential resolutions and the path, different paths to resolving this might be. So just very quickly, where are we right now in this conflict?
Where we are is that the Russian game plan had to change from hope that it would appear that in a couple of days only they could roll relatively light numbers of forces, take some key parts of the country just by literally driving down the road, flying in a few helicopters and doing very limited airstrikes on select military targets. That hasn't worked out. Keeping in mind we're only a week and a half into this, the Russians have changed tactics. They're sending in a lot more forces and are starting to pound civilian areas, civilian infrastructure with missiles and rockets. So things are starting to get quite a bit messier than they had been in the first couple of days.
All right. So given that, Faisal, we've got to take a bit of a break here, but we'll talk about, you know, what the paths are from here when we get back. But, you know, despite the fact that we're facing a military conflict right now, there are always problems, risks and uncertainties that, you know, these kinds of things aren't just humanitarian. They do filter through different markets. Yeah. And that can have an impact on people's psyche and their finances when they move into retirement.
Yeah, with all this volatility, how do you profit and protect yourself through your retirement? Because that's a very vulnerable stage in your life. We're going to talk about the solution to bulletproof your retirement on Tuesday, March 29, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, join us after the break as we get David's take on what the various paths of resolution and what this might look like. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.